Welcome, James. We're glad that you're taking the time to do this interview with us.
Thank you. Thank you for having me on.
So you are the Director of Communications at the Obesity Action Coalition. Would you mind giving us a little bit of background on the coalition, some of its history, and just what its goals are?
Sure, sure. The OAC is a 501c3 organization. We were developed in 2005, and our mission is to elevate and empower those affected by obesity through education, advocacy, and support. So some of our goals are to provide objective information about obesity, its treatments, weight bias, stigma, to advocate on both the state and federal level for access to care, and then to provide support to our members. We are a membership-based organization, and the best way we do that is through our annual convention, which our first one took place last year in October.
So this is a fairly new organization.
Yeah, 2005. You know, not too old, not too young. We're about 7 years old now, so we've been around a little while.
And how did it get started?
The OAC was started when a member of Congress stood up and said that they could eliminate all access to obesity treatment services in their state, and there was not a single group that could do anything about it. At that time, obesity industry funding got together and, you know, put up the resources to start the OAC. I've been with the OAC since the day we started under the direction of Joe Naglowski, our president and CEO, and the OAC National Board of Directors. So we're located in Tampa, Florida, and we have a staff of five individuals here that run the organization under our board.
Before we get into some of the other details about the coalition, maybe we can clarify one of the terms, obesity, because I know we use that term a lot in society. It's a catchphrase, you could say. What does that mean exactly on sort of the scale? Because I know there's overweight, obese, and they mean different things. There's healthy weight, I guess, and underweight, things like that.
Yes. So obesity, you know, you have, if you were looking at BMI, if you were looking at body mass index, you would have you would have underweight, normal weight, overweight, obesity, and then severe obesity. And so, you know, through each one of those, there are different classifications. A BMI of 30 or greater is considered to be classified as obese on a BMI scale. And then above that, more than 100 pounds overweight would be severely obese, so on and so forth.
Could you give us kind of a range of what those sorts of weights are? It's a ratio of weight and height?
BMI is a ratio of weight and height. It's calculated by dividing a person's weight in kilograms by his or her height in meters squared. So it's a little bit difficult to give you weight ranges just because you wouldn't know the person's height. But for instance, if you were 5'9", 225 pounds, you would be classified as obese on a BMI chart.
Okay. Well, at least that gives us some idea of what we're working with. A specific reason that we've tried to get this interview is that the OAC has recently released the brochure Understanding Your Weight Loss Options. Can you give us some background on that brochure?
Yes. The Understanding Your Weight Loss Options brochure is an extremely comprehensive brochure that takes a look at a variety of weight loss options that are available today, everything from behavior modification all the way to bariatric surgery and everything in between. So it really runs the gamut on these different options, talks about each one, provides more information on them, talks about the pros and cons of them, and just really tries to give the reader an objective look at weight loss options.
And how is that brochure available to the public?
You can order a complimentary copy of that brochure by visiting our website at www.obesityaction.org. And once you're on there, you'll see, you can either see it scrolling in the slider graphics on the home page and click on it, or you can click on educational resources up at the top and then on brochures and guides, and you will see it down in the list. You'll see Understanding Your Weight Loss Options brochure listed there.
From the website, which you just mentioned, I did a little bit of research, and I saw a couple of headings that I wanted to get some more information about. One of them was understanding obesity. What's some of the information provided there?
Well, that's a great section. I mean, that's actually in one of our top five sections that folks click on. And the Understanding Obesity section is going to provide you with a breakdown of obesity, severe obesity. He's going to talk a little bit more about measuring your weight and then some of the conditions related to obesity, such as type 2 diabetes, hypertension, sleep apnea. And so that's a really good section to just go in and kind of get a nice general overview of obesity, see some of the risks associated with it, talk about the causes a little bit, and then some of the things you can do to combat obesity.
The next section that I saw was obesity in children. How big of a concern is that, obesity in children?
It's a huge concern. Today, 1 in 3 children are affected by childhood obesity. It's something that, you know, we continue to struggle with more and more. You have physical education being removed from schools, and you know, it's definitely an uphill battle. And in addition to it, you also have a bullying area of it as well, with weight bias penetrating, you know, the childhood obesity as well. So not only are children's, you know, their health being impacted, but they're also being discriminated against or stigmatized, I should say, as well.
Is that some of the information provided in that section of the website?
Well, we actually have a section in the childhood obesity section called Childhood Obesity Stigma. And so if you click on that, you could see all the resources that we have listed there. We talk a little bit about different types of bullying, and all of these are pulled from our publication, Your Weight Matters magazine, which is an exclusive membership benefit. Basically, we feature different articles in the magazine that talk about weight bias, talk about bullying in schools, what parents can do about it, how to combat it. So there's definitely resources there for parents as well.
In addition to the section in the Obesity in Children section about weight bias and stigma, I know the website has a tab entirely devoted to that. I assume that's for adults.
Yes, and there's a little bit of both in there. The weight bias, is just to go back for a second, it's one of the last acceptable forms of discrimination today. It's still okay to make fun of somebody that's affected by obesity in media, pop culture. You look at any news article that talks about obesity or excess weight, and it's always a picture of somebody's stomach without a head. You know, any other disease always features a full body shot. We don't talk about diabetes and just put a picture of somebody's stomach up there. So, you know, these types of images only further dehumanize the disease of obesity, and they perpetuate the weight bias associated with it. You'll find weight bias in employment settings, education, many different areas, healthcare even. And so we've created this section to help educate people on weight bias and to provide them with some tools, some options that they can use to combat bias as well.
You mentioned in that explanation or that description, obesity as a disease. Is it technically classified as a disease? How does that work?
Well, the OAC classifies it as a disease. We feel it is a disease. This obesity has a number of conditions associated with it. If you look at a lot of individuals that have addressed their weight, gotten their weight into a healthy range, their diabetes goes into remission. They don't need the CPAP machine anymore for sleep apnea. The hypertension begins to go away. I mean, if you look at all of these things, you know, we need to look to obesity to treat these. Not so much treating the related conditions, but let's treat the source of it.
I see what you're saying there, is that obesity is a cause of several of these, I want to say more severe, but I don't know if that's the right term, conditions like diabetes, like the sleep apnea that you've mentioned. And so treating...
Well, yeah, I mean, absolutely. And you're right on. I mean, if you look at somebody who undergoes bariatric surgery and they're diabetic, most times their diabetes will go into remission. You cannot argue that the addressing weight can definitely have a beneficial impact on these related conditions.
I will admit, I have a family member who was at risk for diabetes. The doctor said, you know, we need to get some blood tests. It looks like you're developing diabetes. But they worked at it, got their weight down a little bit, ate a little healthier, did a little more exercise. And by the time the blood tests were through, the danger was gone.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess those situations are available to people where treating obesity, in a sense, is going to prevent some of these other other conditions.
Yeah, you know, prevent them, or it's going to assist in managing them, one or the other.
All right. Dealing with the brochure itself, I've pulled up the table of contents, and maybe we can just go kind of section by section about some of these options. Understanding your weight loss options, there's a variety of things people can do. That's right?
Yes, absolutely.
So the first one in here is behavior modification. What is that dealing with?
Well, behavior modification is, you know, that's going to be the underlying treatment that goes along with all the other treatments. Regardless if you choose medically managed weight loss or bariatric surgery, behaviors are going to need to change as well. So behavior modification is going to talk about lifestyle choices, going to talk about exercise, going to talk about nutrition, and that really is going to be the one that is going to kind of be that underlying change, you know, that needs to be included with any other option that you choose. And the thing with obesity is that it's very individualistic. And what works for one person may not work for someone else. Personally, I've used behavior modification to address my weight, and I lost about 65, 70 pounds over the course of a year and a half. And that worked for me. But for somebody else, that might not work, or they might need that in conjunction with another therapy. And then that's what the OEC is here to do, is to make sure those therapies are easily available for folks.
So I suppose that's why behavior modification is the first section, because it's almost always going to be necessary, but it might not do everything on its own.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay, the next section is commercial weight loss products and programs. I see it deals with diet books, dietary supplements, body monitoring, things like that, right?
Yes, and so here's, you know, a perfect example. I mean, these are probably some of the weight loss methods that individuals are exposed to the most, you know, through advertising, marketing, and they all have a place. But it's important for folks to understand all of them. And so, you know, with some books, there's a lot of diet books out there, and you want to know what you need to be looking for in those. With the body monitoring, it's very good to know, you know, how many steps are you getting in each day? Are you getting a full night's sleep? And then you have the couple other sections you mentioned in there, the over-the-counter medications that are available, and then some of the commercial weight loss programs, Nutrisystem, Jenny Craig, SlimFast, Weight Watchers. All of those programs have pros and cons to them. They are, you know, effective in what they do, and they do work for some folks. And we just wanted to provide folks with an objective view of a lot of those different options that are very easily available to folks trying to manage their weight and improve their health.
Maybe I can ask, sort of as a tangent to that, the different kinds of diets that come up, like you said, in advertising a lot. There's a big push for this diet, and then a year later, there's a big push for that diet. What are some of the different developments that seem to affect those diets? Wouldn't it just be that there is a better diet?
Well, it's hard because, and I think, you know, I'm not a medical professional, but any medical professional that you speak to will probably tell you that, you know, diets most times do not work, in that it's not just something that's a temporary thing. Again, and if I use myself as kind of the guinea pig here a little bit to compare to, when I made some lifestyle changes and behavioral changes, I did not consider it a diet. You know, these are changes that need to be permanent, that you have to make in your life to address your weight and to improve your health. So that, I think, is the issue with diets, is that, you know, people say, well, this diet didn't work, but this one works. Well, the fact of the matter is that diet might work for somebody, but, you know, a diet oftentimes is thought of as temporary. And in order to have long-term effects on weight, especially obesity, it needs to be long-term permanent changes that an individual makes.
So we're dealing again with the behavior modification as one of the important factors.
Yes, again, and that's, you know, from the beginning, that like I said, that's the underlying change that needs to be involved in all of these therapies. I mean, as we continue down this list, you know, there's none of them do not require behavior modification of some sort.
Right. The next section is physician-supervised weight loss. I see that deals with prepackaged meal replacement plans, and I don't know if I'm going to say this word correctly, pharmacotherapy.
Yep, you said it perfect.
Oh, great. So what is that dealing with exactly?
Well, so prepackaged meal plans, those are going to talk a little bit about some of the different companies out there that offer prepackaged meals for individuals to utilize to lose weight. Those are very good resources. They definitely teach folks, you know, portion control. They teach nutrition in there, you know, low-sodium meals, that type of thing. And with that, as long as the individual can continue those behaviors after they're done with the plan, then they will most likely benefit from them. You know, they may benefit from them, I should say. Pharmacotherapy. That's a big word for weight loss medications. And in 2012, we actually saw the FDA approve medications for weight loss for the first time in over a decade. So now we have some medications out there that are approved to treat obesity that show 5 to 10% weight loss. And it really is very impressive, the health benefits of modest weight loss. You know, it doesn't have to be some huge number on the scale. Just addressing 5 to 10% of your weight, your excess weight can make a big difference in your health.
It's, I guess, an important factor to remember. It's not so much an overall weight loss program to get everything out, but even just a little bit will create benefits, won't it?
Absolutely. And the trouble with weight loss, and this was why we did this brochure, is that, you know, when you look at how a lot of weight loss products are marketed towards individuals, they're shown with imagery that would be almost impossible for anybody to achieve. You know, pictures that are photoshopped, individuals that are just blessed genetically that, you know, they can eat whatever they want and they don't gain weight, build muscle very easily. And the OAC, we are not concerned with achieving a weight loss that matches a picture. For us, losing weight is about improving your health. And so that's where we push, you know, even the benefits of modest weight loss. It's not about looking like the you know, the bikini model on the cover of a magazine or the bodybuilder. It's about improving your health.
The next section, this last section for regarding the weight loss options, is bariatric surgery. And that sounds to me pretty severe.
So bariatric surgery is a major surgery, and there are different types of surgery. Excuse me. Different types of surgeries available. You have adjustable gastric banding, you have Roux-en-Y bypass, sleeve gastrectomy, and then a bigger named one, the biliopancreatic diversion with duodenal switch. These are all different types of bariatric surgeries. For someone who feels that might be the right option for them, the best thing they could do is go to their primary care physician, talk about this a little bit more with them, and then if together they feel it is the right next step, to find a bariatric surgeon, and you can discuss these different types of surgeries with them. We obviously would encourage you to order the brochure. You can read all about them. You know, they are very different in how they work. And again, with any one of those, behavior modification, lifestyle changes definitely goes along with it 100%.
I appreciate you going through this this brochure with me and explaining it. It also at the end has a BMI chart and some more information, I see. If you could provide a single piece of advice or information to someone who is listening to this and is considering their weight loss options, what would that piece of advice be, either from the brochure, from your work, or from your own experience? You mentioned that you have modified your own weight some.
I think you have to look at weight loss in a couple different ways. First, you have to identify why you are losing the weight. You know, and your health is the number one thing. So it's important to address your weight, you know, when it's impacting your health. I think you have to be able to be ready for that change. Nobody can force anyone to lose weight. You have to want to do it. And I think what's unfortunate is you got a lot of folks out there that don't even realize that they're impacted by excess weight or obesity. And, you know, the OAC actually has a national campaign called Your Weight Matters, which is available at yourweightmatters.org. And on there you can measure your weight, you can learn more about the impact of excess weight, and then we encourage you to take the challenge. It's a campaign. Take the campaign challenge and talk to your doctor about your weight. And I think, you know, overall, you just got to stick with it. You know, battling obesity is not an easy thing. I can tell you, I took me a year and a half to lose the weight, but every day I'm still maintaining that weight. So it's not, people shouldn't become overly obsessed with a number on a scale. again, it's about health improvements. And I think when you begin to see those health improvements, you learn to maintain that weight, you make these lifestyle changes, they just become a part of your life, and it becomes easier to manage weight and to control it.
Well, James, thank you very much for taking the time to do this interview with us. It has been extremely informative, and I am, again, very grateful for the opportunity to talk with you.
Thank you very much. I appreciate you having me on.